for a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week. Let's go inside the ropes.
It is the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you, as always, by PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number one, Jack Nicklaus is officially becoming a ceremonial golfer. Augusta National Golf Club announced just a couple of days ago that Nicklaus, who will turn 70 next spring, six times Masters champion, will join old rival and four-time Master champion Arnold Palmer as co-honorary starters for the 2010 Masters. Pat, your thoughts?
It's a sad day, Russ, in a way, because to me, when you start teeing off ceremonially at Augusta, that kind of means you're done. And not that I ever had any expectations for Jack to come back on the senior tour, or especially on the PGA Tour. When you start doing stuff like this, it really means that you as a player are just kind of showing up to, you know, give people one more chance to see, which is fine. But it's a marking of time, a passage of time for me, because Jack was, like I said, and it's funny because Arnie's 80, and I really have no connection with Arnie at all in terms of a golfer. His last PGA win was in 73. His last major was in 64 when I was born. So I don't have any real connection with Arnie, so in terms of watching him as a golfer. So I like the fact that, you know, he's a ceremonial, sort of, you know, doing the ceremonial tee shot. But Jack's different, even though he's just 10 years younger than Arnie. I grew up with a lot of Jack Nicklaus wins and exciting finishes and things like that. You know, the 86 Masters just capped it off. And for him to now be, you know, doing what Sarah's in and Snead and Byron Nelson were doing not that long ago, just, you know, it's another passage of time. I think it's great for golf, and I think they will get Gary Player up there at some point.
That'd
soon.
That'd be great, yeah, to have the three of them up there.
But, you know, it's kind of your last stop when you're doing that. Yeah. The next thing is, guess somebody's died or whatever out of the threesome, and that's just the way life goes. But I think it's a great thing.
Arnold Palmer will turn 80 on Thursday, 80 years of age this coming Thursday, September 10th. Jack will turn 70 next spring, and Gary Player's right in the middle. He's 75, so it'll be nice to see Gary Player join Arnie and Jack. Arnold's final Masters was about almost 10 years ago, right around 2000. Nicklaus's final Masters was 4 years ago in 2005. Gary Player's final Masters was this past year, 2009. Fuzzy Zeller also announced that would be his final Masters this past year. And Nicklaus and Palmer join eight other, well, obviously Palmer's already been doing it for a couple years. Nicklaus joins Palmer along with Jock Hutchinson, Fred McLeod, Byron Nelson, Gene Sarazen, Ken Venturi, and Sam Snead as the nine men that have ever been ceremonial starters. Pat, last thought on this before we move to the next topic. Can you ever imagine Tiger Woods being a ceremonial starter at the Masters someday?
Sure. I mean, you know, at some point Tiger is going to hang it up, and being a four-time winner, and who knows if that's going to be it.
You would think he'll win a couple more
Green
Jackets.
He would absolutely. The funny thing with Tiger is who would be on that tee with him? I mean, there really hasn't been anybody to compare. Maybe Mickelson, but you know, in terms of Arnie, Jack, and Gary, even though Jack had won many more majors than them, they were always kind of clumped together as the big three, and so this seems natural. But Tiger is so out in front in terms of his own stature, I think it'd be odd. I think he'll do it. I just think it'll be odd for somebody to be paired up with him if they ever get to that point.
All right, topic number two, the LPGA Tour got some good news this past week. Wegmans, a sponsor of the LPGA event in Rochester, New York for the last 33 years, has extended its contract through 2012. Wegmans was one of the endangered sponsors when Players Revolt forced Carolyn Bivens aside as commissioner in July. Now, the LPGA Tour has 15 events under contract for 2010. This year, in 2009, the tour began with 31 tournaments, but have since dropped to 27 when it lost stops in Orlando, Kapalua, and China, and the Alabama stop was pushed back to the spring of 2010. Two other events with expired contracts are close to renewing. Sources close to the LPGA Tour said that they would be thrilled to get 22 events signed for 2010. Pat, your thoughts right now on the strength of the LPGA Tour?
I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. Like I've said, the LPGA Tour needs to figure out a way to compact their schedule, but make it so, you know, we talked about this many times, Russ, you know, maybe end their tournaments on Saturday so they're not going against either football or other men's golf or something like that. Go from Thursday to Saturday, or if you're 4-day events, Wednesday to Saturday. I don't think that affects anything. That might be a little change. again, with the schedule itself, don't be hopscotching all over the place. Have some defined, okay, this is going to be the European part of our schedule or the Asian part of our schedule or the Mexican part of our schedule. And then you have to have a big part of the schedule, which is in America, and it should have some kind of flow to it. Start in Florida, go up to the Carolinas, maybe out to California, and then some northern courses during the heat of the summer, like the PGA Tour does. But have a definitive, you know, and go with this for a while so people know, oh, it's July, that means they're playing in, you know, Minnesota or somewhere where you get a feeling of similarity every year as to what they're doing and where they're playing. Then the other thing is, Rush, you got to hope that some of the Americans start playing. I mean, this year, out of the 20 or so tournaments, I think the Americans have only won four of them.
Right.
And the last one was in May. So Michelle Wee, Christy Kerr, Natalie Galbis,
Morgan Pressel,
they've got to step it up and start asserting themselves in some of these tournaments and winning them. Nothing against the Asians. They're just doing what they're out there trying to do, and that's win. But I do believe it would help if the LPGA Tour had some American victories as we go along. But it's, I think the 22 tournaments is fine.
Right.
Just don't, again, quit going against...
31 was way too many.
It's 31 way too many.
Was just way overexposed for the LPGA
Tour. And quit
Tour.
Going against majors. I know the Senior Tour has a zillion majors, but quit going against those. Quit going against... or even being in the same week sort of as the PGA majors.
Right, like one of the Mexico LPGA Tour events this year was the same week as the Masters. That's not a good move.
You can't do that. Don't even try to compete against that. So there's some things I think that are fairly obvious that they can do, but 22 tournaments I think is okay.
Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. It's our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment. Handful of hot topics in the world of golf brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number three, Ernie Els did not work hard enough after undergoing major surgery on his left knee in 2005. So said Tiger Woods this past Thursday in Boston in advance of the Deutsche Bank Championship. The South African, once riding high in the rankings, is now ranked 20th in the world, and he's gone 41 tournaments without a victory. Tiger said, quote, "Ernie's not a big worker physically, and that's one of the things he had to do with an ACL injury." End quote. Pat, surprised Tiger is taking Ernie to task.
Russ, I don't get this at all. Number one, I like it. I like the fact that Tiger's talking about other guys and maybe, you know, just trying to stir something up or whatever, because you never get anything like this out of Tiger ever. But I don't understand for the life of me why. Why would Tiger feel like he needs to comment on it? Ernie's basically done. Now, he played well last week, but I just don't get the sense that, you know, Ernie's going to turn into Kenny Perry and have a great 40s in his 40s. I could be wrong about that, and I hope I am because I like Ernie. But I don't understand the feeling by Tiger to say, not only is this player, ex-player, who's one of my contemporaries, didn't do a good job rehabbing, I did a much better job than he did, and that's why I'm here. This goes in a string of things that Tiger's done this summer, Russ, that you and I have sort of talked about off the air, like, you know, missing the cut at the British Open, which was very odd for Tiger, but that was due to just, you know, poor play at the wrong time. But then making the excuse for Patty Harrington at the one tournament a month ago at the Bridgestone,
right?
You know, for the slow play and causing Patty to hit it in the water on 16 and blow up and take a triple bogey or whatever he did, that's completely out of Tiger's normal way of handling things. He doesn't give other players excuses for why they lost. Tiger usually says, "I just played better," and you'll have to ask Patty why, you know, he hit one in the water. But this goes in sort of conjunction with that. I don't understand why you're criticizing Ernie at this point. Doesn't make any sense. Ernie's never been on. It's not like he's Stephen Ames and he gave, you know, he's given Tiger jabs here and there, or Rory Sabatini. Ernie's never said anything bad about Tiger, so I don't get it.
Yeah, it's an odd move by me. Obviously, Tiger knows anything Tiger says is going to make headlines.
It's gonna be blown up.
And it's an odd move by me. I'm not sure why he did it, but I will say this. If Tiger mentions you, if Tiger goes out of his way to mention you, I think it means he likes you. He mentioned Patty Harrington. He made an excuse for Padraig. He said, "John Paramore, you know, putting us on the clock, that's the reason Patty triple bogeyed that par five." Ernie Els, he needs to work harder. I think maybe Tiger's saying this almost as a parent who's disappointed with his child and thinks he can do better. You know, that's kind of what I'm saying. He never talks about Phil. He never talks about Sergio. Tiger doesn't talk about guys he doesn't like unless he's provoked first, i.e. the Stephen Ames situation or the Rory Sabatini situation. Tiger took shots at those guys after he was first provoked by them. So I, in a weird way, I think this is proof that Tiger likes Ernie, and it's almost like he's a father, you know, talking about a son who hasn't worked hard enough, and he knows that there's more potential there. Does that sound kind of weird? Or
I mean, you know, you could be right. I'm not saying
now,
that.
It again, just, I don't think it's not a good move by Tiger to have done this.
My whole thing is I just don't get the rationale behind it. Like we said, if it was somebody that's always been kind of a nemesis of Tiger's, and the guy's down and Tiger maybe wants to take a little shot at him, that's one thing. But Ernie's always just kind of anytime he's in contention with Tiger, he usually just fades into the background and doesn't. So there's really hasn't been a competition between Tiger and Ernie. And like you said, I maybe he is using it to motivate him, but that's just odd for Tiger. Tiger, when he has guys down, he wants them to stay down. So if he feels like that's going to motivate Ernie, I don't know why he's doing it. Why would he want Ernie to all of a sudden start playing better if that could potentially affect Tiger winning stuff? I don't know. I just think it's strange.
All right, sticking with Tiger Woods for our fourth and final topic, and this is surprising. In this week's Golf World issue, the issue with Heath Slocum on the cover, there's the article about Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford, quarterback of Oklahoma, a scratch golfer. It's the Golf World jinx because Bradford gets injured last night in the game against BYU. But in that same Golf World issue, there's a note about Jim Nantz. CBS golf announcer and NFL announcer Jim Nantz taking a page out of sports memorabilia geek guy. Listen to this, Pat. This is so weird. Jim Nantz, CBS announcer, picked up a piece of turf left by Tiger Woods' shot at the Bridgestone a month ago. His 8-iron from 180 yards out on Firestone's 16th hole during the final round of the Bridgestone Invitational. Jim Nantz went out onto the golf course after the round, after the broadcast, and picked up the divot and saved it. Nantz said, quote, "I believe it's one of the five greatest shots that Tiger has ever struck. So when we were done, I went out to the 16th fairway and retrieved Tiger's divot," end quote. Jim Nantz, he's not a sports memorabilia geek. What's going on with this?
I think this is strange, and I also think it's disturbing in a way. Russ, forget about the fact that isn't there a commercial where a guy gets a divot and he like grooms it?
Right.
And
the Travelers Championship in those commercials.
Yeah, that's like a joke. Jim actually did that. So
this is Jim Nantz. This is not. So this is like the guy in sports.
But the other thing, Russ, from a more cynical standpoint, Jim covers Tiger. He is one of the announcers. I'm not saying he has to be out there critical or whatever, but he is. He's supposed to be somewhat impartial covering golf. This just basically comes out and says, "I completely idolize this guy." You don't go get a divot from some guy that you're going to keep and not come basically out and say this is beyond getting an autograph.
This is so weird. This
it's
is
extremely
so weird.
Strange from a member of the media that covers him and this to go is, do this and admit it.
Let me say it again. This is Jim Nantz. He is like if you're going to like make a list of the top 100 sportscasters in this country, on the top 2 or 3 you're going to have Bob Costas and Jim Nantz and probably Al Michaels. I mean, he's like one of the elite. And he's going out onto the fairway and taking Tiger's divot.
And he's admitting it.
What
Russ.
Is he going to? That's the biggest thing.
I mean,
thing.
Just go do
why
it if you're going to do it.
Why would you ever?
But don't come out and like, say it's like some funny type
now,
thing.
Now
it's
weird. I have got to imagine he probably gave this to one of his kids. I got to imagine
say that.
That's what
then
it
he should have said that.
He didn't mention that. So it's kind of a weird. We're taking a page out of sports memorabilia geek guy, Jim Nantz. Anyway, there is another edition of the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment. We do it each and every week, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf. And it's brought to you, as always, by PGA National Resort and Spa.